the 139th Psalm. Still on the subject of comfort in our sovereign God. And we're talking about God's omnipresence, and mainly the fact that God is with his people. Now, God is everywhere. Even the wicked cannot flee from God Almighty.
That's right.
He's there. But in a, I will say, special and different way, God is with his people. And that's what we read the psalmist David saying in verse 7 of Psalms 139. And let me read it again. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? And whither shall I flee from thy presence? And note the difference of language. Went over that several times. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy right hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. And I have been, for the past 2 or 3 weeks, on this subject of light and darkness. Now, we've already looked at the first two. That is, the first one is God can give light to one and darkness to another.
Yes, sir.
And let me just add to that. Not only can God give darkness to some, God may also send strong delusion to some.
Yes, sir.
That's a darkness that's beyond the pale of normal darkness. You see, we're all born in spiritual darkness.
Yes, sir.
But not everyone is given that strong delusion that they should believe the lie.
That's right.
And I want to stress that it said, the scripture says, God shall send them strong delusion.
Yes, sir.
I am so simplistic of mind that I believe it means exactly that. I don't believe we need to try to justify God and then somehow say we need to read into that. Well, God allows the devil to send men strong delusion. That's not what it says. It says God shall send them strong delusion.
Amen.
David even said of the Jews, and it's said in the Old Testament, and the Apostle Paul reiterates it in Romans chapter 11, which we will go to, God willing, in more detail a little later. But look at what it says in verse 7 of Romans 11. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it. And look at that next phrase. And the rest were blinded.
Amen.
According as it is written, God.
Yeah.
And that's it. See? Who gives this blindness? God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear. And then the apostle adds, unto this day. You see, God Almighty is in control of everything.
Yes, sir.
There is nothing outside of his sovereign control.
Exactly.
And even if it is the devil that is doing something, as is manifest in the case of Job, yet even there, David, God is in absolute sovereign control.
Amen.
Satan could go no further and certainly would go no less.
That's right.
Than what God Almighty had permitted.
Exactly.
God said you can basically touch everything, but you can't take his life. You can take everything he has, but you can't take his life. So he basically took his kids, took his wealth, took his wife as a faithful companion to the truth,
oh, yeah,
and then also took his health.
Yes, sir.
And yet, in all of this, Job did not charge God what? Unwisely, foolishly. In other words, Job did his best to speak the truth about God.
Yes, sir.
So again, God has ordained, or God can give light to one and darkness to the other. Another verse. Our Lord Jesus says, Father, I thank thee that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes.
Amen.
And we ought to be, I say that because I don't know that we always are, but we ought to be as thankful for one as we are for the other.
Yes, sir.
Because both are to the honor and glory of God. Because anything that God does honors God.
Yes, sir.
And it's God that hid these things from some. And Jesus thanked him for both the hiding and the revelation.
Yes, sir.
The hard part is when this hits home.
Yeah.
That's the hard part. Because I'll be honest with you. When I think about just the world, I usually only casually think about them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For instance, and I don't mean this in particular, just off the top of my head. The people in Africa, the people in South America, the people in Canada, you know, the people here, the people there. When I think about them, it's a fleeting thought. Most of the people that I dwell upon, that I think about, Mason, that I pray about, are those that are my close acquaintances or my kinsmen according to the flesh. And I'm trying to make that a standard statement of my life. That when I talk about my family, I mean you. And when I talk about my blood kin, I mean that, my blood kin. Because there are some who are my blood kin, but they're not my family.
Yeah.
Now, somebody said, well, you're just playing with words. No, no, not really. Not really. Because our Lord said, who is my mother, my father, my brother, my sister?
Yeah.
Those that hear the word of God and keep it.
Amen.
That's my family. That's my family. The rest are, at best, my kinsmen according to the flesh.
Exactly.
And most of us, being Gentiles, if we're not Jews and don't know it or something, could be. We don't really know. But most of us, being Gentiles, are of such a mixed breed, we ain't got nothing to brag on anyway.
Exactly.
Most dogs have a higher pedigree than what we got.
Yeah.
We wouldn't even make a good mutt. And I don't know how I got to that one, but that's just a fact. God can give light to one and darkness to another, and it's His business.
Yes, sir.
I mean, I think of Abraham, and I can only imagine his feelings. And as I've said before concerning what I'm about to say, I don't know whether it would be better to know or not know. But Abraham was basically told, Ishmael, your son, I don't favor him. My covenant will not be with him. My covenant will be with another son. It'll be your son, but it won't be Ishmael. And it's and oft times men preach, or in Sunday schools, people are taught as almost as though Ishmael was just some aberration in Abraham's life. But let us remember that Ishmael was just as much Abraham's son as Isaac was.
Amen. That's right.
Ishmael was not a miracle, but Isaac was.
Yes, sir.
But the point is, God told Abraham, Ishmael don't have it. Isaac will. That'd be tough to live with, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir.
Because when you don't know, you still have this little ray of hope when you don't know. But whether you know or you don't know, whatever God's determined, that's what's going to happen.
Yes, sir.
And we ought to praise God for it.
Yes.
There's coming a day when a multitude of people shall be damned by God. And in the book of the Revelation, it is revealed that the people of God cry out to God, Hallelujah! I mean, at the very damnation of this other group of people.
Yes,
they cry out to God, Hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth.
Amen.
I ought to be able to cry that out today.
Yes, sir.
You know, I ought to be able to cry that out today. Why? Because God can give light to one and darkness to another. That's His business. We've looked at that. Secondly, God has ordained that one person's light is another person's darkness.
Yes, sir.
And the main revelation of this, the main example of this, the main example of this is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is life to some, and it is death to others.
Yes, sir.
But when it's death to some, this other group, it doesn't change characteristics to become death to them. It is death to this one group just as much as it is life to the other group, but it's still the same gospel.
Yes, sir.
It's not a different message. It's not, we're not talking about the good part of the gospel, that is salvation through Christ, but then damnation for those who reject Him, and that's true, right?
Yes, sir.
That's true. But that's not what I'm talking. Even the good part is death to the dead.
Exactly.
You see? All of, it's not just a part of the gospel is death to the dead. The gospel is death unto death. That's the way the apostle puts it in 2 Corinthians 2, verses 14, 15, 16, and 17. It is death unto death and life unto life. And I made a point of mentioning this because it leads into the third one. That is, that God Himself is light. God Himself is light. Now, let me go back then to 2 Corinthians 2. And I'm not turning there, but go back to this thought where it says that we are a savor. We are a savor. To some, death unto death. To others, life unto life. Now, when Paul says we, he doesn't mean us personally. He did not mean himself personally. He did not mean the Corinthians personally, but he's talking about us as being the messengers of the truth of God.
Yes.
And as this is so, then we are death to death and life to life.
Yes.
And this is a spiritual, or maybe better, it's still spiritual is okay, but it is a scriptural precedent that cannot change, that never changes. The gospel is life unto life and death unto death. The gospel does not, has never been, and will never be life unto death.
That's right.
Now, the death there that the Apostle Paul's talking about are people, not some theory, or not some mere state. He's talking about people. The gospel is life unto living people.
Yes, sir.
And I will add, for clarity, but it's the truth of Scripture, the gospel is life unto spiritually alive people.
Yes, sir.
But unto spiritually dead people, the gospel is what? Death. And it will never be anything else. That is a precedent set forth in Scripture that never changes.
That's right.
Though men try to change it.
Yeah.
Now the fact of Scripture is we are all born dead in trespasses and in sins. And I say it this way for effect. No matter how elect you are just as dead naturally in Adam as the reprobate are. I was born just as dead as Pharaoh was born dead,
yes,
spiritually
sir.
Speaking. And when I first began to hear the gospel was nothing more than death unto me while I was in that dead state.
Yes, sir.
The gospel could not and never was intended to bring me life.
Exactly.
Because the gospel is life unto life. And the gospel is death unto death.
Amen.
And what I'm afraid some people are doing, though they may not intend to, is they're actually lessening the depravity of some men when they say that the gospel has some power to bring some dead men to life.
Exactly.
Because it doesn't. Let's look at a case in point. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now here we will see this truth declared, but it's declared kind of Mason as a sideline. It's not, it's, the Apostle Paul is talking about it, but he's not directly talking about it as life and the life and death and the death. Let's look at the passage. You'll see what I mean, I hope. 1 Corinthians 3, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." And he talked about immature.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? "I have fed you with meat and not with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able." He's just saying, you've not come far enough for the meat yet.
Exactly.
You're not able. "For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men?"
Yeah.
And I've heard some people, I'm talking about grace people, say they ain't no such thing as a carnal Christian.
Yeah.
That ain't what this says. Now, does it call them carnal Christians? No, because that may be a misnomer in and of itself. But to say that some believers are not carnal is to refute the truth of God.
Exactly.
And let me tell you, most of us are far more carnal than what we want to admit.
Exactly.
"Are you not carnal, walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos." Paul said, doesn't that show your carnality? You're bragging about men?
Yeah.
Right? But what do you mean just bragging about, I am of Paul? See? "I am of Apollos." Are you not carnal? What are you talking about of? Of recognizes source.
Yeah.
Right? Or ownership.
Yeah.
And either one doesn't apply when it comes to this subject. Because the preacher don't own you, and the preacher ain't the source.
Exactly.
But the preacher is the preacher.
Yes, sir.
Because he's preaching the message that is to be what? Preached.
Exactly.
Paul was preaching the truth. Apollos was preaching the truth.
Yeah.
Right? It had been one thing had Paul not preached the truth and Apollos did, yeah, and to say, I'm of Apollos. Or vice versa.
Sure.
That Paul's preaching the truth, and Apollos wasn't, and he said, well, I join up, I'm of Paul.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the point. This is not what they were getting at. Both were preaching the truth. He says, verse 4, "Are you not carnal?" Look, "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed?" Now that's a fact.
Yes, sir.
And men believe because they hear the message of Jesus Christ as proclaimed by other people. And you're not going to believe in Christ till you've heard about Him.
That's right.
I mean, that's just the way God set it up.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
And Romans 10 teaches that quite clearly, right? You can't believe on Him in whom you've not heard. But look at what it says. "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believe?" Now, is Paul denigrating that?
No.
No. But Paul's putting it in its proper perspective.
Exactly.
Then, what is that? "Even as the Lord gave to every man."
Yes, sir.
Now, I would venture to say that some people sat under the ministry of Paul and didn't believe.
Yep.
But then Apollos came along and preached the same gospel, and those same people who didn't, or that same person or persons who didn't believe while Paul was preaching, then when Apollos preached the same gospel, what did they do? They believed. Because men do not believe because of the eloquence of the preacher.
Exactly.
And they don't believe because of the truthfulness that the preacher is preaching either. Because both of these men, at least later Apollos was, wasn't quite right to start with, but he was later. Both of these men were preaching the same gospel.
Yes, sir.
Right? They weren't preaching another gospel. "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man?" Look at how Paul puts it. "I planted, Apollos watered."
Yep.
"But God gave the increase." increase.
Amen.
Now it says, I believe it means exactly what it says, just like when it says God shall send them strong delusion, I believe it means God gave the increase. The gospel didn't give the increase.
Exactly.
God did.
Amen.
Now he used the gospel to teach people exactly what he wanted them to believe, but it's God who gave the increase. Apollos planted what? The gospel seed. Apollos watered what? The gospel seed.
Yeah.
He laid truth upon truth.
Exactly.
Right? But God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase.
Amen.
Let us give the credit for increase always to whom it belongs.
Amen.
Not to something else.
Yeah.
No matter how grand and glorious it is. The credit for increase goes not to the preacher nor what he's preaching.
That's right.
Although he will be preaching the truth.
Yeah.
But that's not where the credit goes. The credit goes to God.
Amen.
Verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one.
Yes.
Now notice, they're not two. They're one. And yet there were many people in Corinth who believed when Paul first went to Corinth.
Yeah.
God told him, I've got many people in this city, right?
Yes, sir.
But we know they all didn't believe at first, did they?
Good.
Now why is it that when a man preaches the gospel and there are elect people in the congregation, why wouldn't every one of them believe if it's the truth that gives life? The reason is because the elect are just as dead as the reprobate.
Amen.
And they're just as far from the gospel and understanding the gospel and believing the gospel and loving the gospel. The elect is just as far away from that as the reprobate are by nature.
Yes,
sir. It takes something beyond the gospel.
Yes.
The gospel informs only the living. It is life unto life, but it is always death unto death. And until you or I are made alive by God, it'll stay death to us. But once God Almighty says, like he did to Adam, like he breathed into Adam's nostrils and man became a living soul, God still does that today spiritually. But I still don't know if that ain't, this is literal as well. That God don't breathe spiritual life into the individual, because it's said that it is the Spirit of God that quickens.
Yes, sir.
And the very word spirit is just a synonym in Greek for what? Breath.
Yeah.
Breath. And breath signifies what? Life.
Yes, sir.
That's why the scripture speaks of that early creation, that first creation, Adamic. And that's the only way I can put it. That first Adamic creation where God speaks of everything that has what? Breath in its nostrils.
Yes, sir.
And let me tell you something. It is God that gives spiritual life, just like it's God that gives physical life.
Yes, sir.
And I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but as we will see, God is sovereign in creation.
Well,
God is not dependent upon procreation. Even in procreation, it is God Almighty who creates the individual.
Yes, sir.
Well, let me just put it to you this way. We'll look at it in more detail. A woman doesn't choose what egg is pleased to be fertilized.
That's it.
Now, she doesn't choose which one. And the man doesn't choose which sperm is going to fertilize the egg, does he?
Yes, sir.
Somebody said, well, they can take one now and they can do the in vitro fertilizer. Yeah, but where did it come from?
Exactly.
Where did that egg and that sperm come from to start with? Who created that?
There you go.
God did.
Yes, sir.
God did. Because God can withhold that from some folks. And he does.
Yes,
does he
sir.
Not? God lets some folks run rampant with it.
Yes, sir.
Like a bunch of rabbits. And of course, I guess God did say, multiply, replenish the earth. Some people sure like obeying that command. They know how to make them, but they don't know how to raise them. They know how to make them, but they don't know how to raise them. Let me just say, back to the point, God Himself is light.
Yes, sir.
And in particular, let's go to 2 Corinthians. We will look at another passage because I am dealing with this thing of God is light in the area of the gospel. Now let me stop and say, the gospel is life.
Yeah.
But remember, it's life only unto what?
Life.
Amen. Because it's death unto anything that's dead. Or anyone that's dead. Now, a lot of people think the Scripture is not quite clear on this subject. It's far more clear than what men want to declare it is.
Exactly.
It's very clear.
Yeah.
People just don't want to bow down to this truth. Why? Because it takes me out of the picture.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what Paul was saying about him and Apollos. Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? Nothing.
Exactly.
Right? Well, God's dependent upon me. No, God can kill you or me today. And He'll use somebody else.
Yes, sir.
And God could, if He was pleased to, kill us all and He'd let the rocks cry out.
Exactly.
Or He'll let a jackass speak.
Yes, sir.
And as I've said before, most of the time when we speak, that's what's speaking anyway.
Yep.
Is a jackass. And as Scott Richardson said one time, one of the first times I ever heard him, he said, the Old Testament declares us to be an unclean ass. And he said, you can take that any way you want. That's what Scott Richardson said.
Amen.
And I agree.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's what we are. We're an unclean ass. Any way you chalk it up. Our only hope is that Jesus Christ died for sinners. And my only hope that I ever believed the gospel, the only hope I have of believing it today is because God Almighty is light. And God Almighty is life. Both. So again, God is light. 2 Corinthians 4. That's where I plan on going to. 2 Corinthians 4. Remember, God Himself is light. Therefore, seeing we have received this ministry. What ministry? The ministry of liberty.
Yes.
Not the ministry of death.
Exactly.
Right? It's the ministry of liberty. It's also the ministry of the Spirit. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. And that's the only way we're going to be able to keep going and not faint. That's God's mercy.
Yes, sir.
Well, if every one of us we would quit today apart from God's mercy.
Yes, sir.
We'd give it up.
Yeah.
We'd abandon it today if it weren't for His mercy. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. And in what particular way? Nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Because that's the major thrust right there.
Yes, sir.
I don't care how moral a man is, if he's lying about God's word, it's of no value.
Yeah, that's right.
A man preaching can be one of the most upright among men.
Oh,
but
yeah.
If he's not preaching the gospel, he's telling lies on God.
Exactly.
And I'm going to put it this way. I don't care what kind of faults a man has. If he's preaching the gospel of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, it will be of benefit.
Yes, sir.
I don't care what flaws that preacher or proclaimer might have. Because they all have them.
Yeah.
Every one of us.
Yes, sir.
You see, there is a sense in which every one of us are preachers. Somebody said, you believe in, I'd had that asked me one time here in this building. Do you believe in women preachers? You know what I said? I said, yes. Well, you believe that a woman's supposed to stand up and preach the gospel to God's people? And I looked at that person and I said, now let's define ourselves. What are you doing to me?
Yeah.
You're telling me what you feel about God's word. Happened to be a female.
Yeah.
You see, everyone who believes can proclaim the message of Christ.
Yeah.
To preach. Now, not every person's called to pastor.
Yeah.
That's a different story. But look at, let's go on. Nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now, Paul's not saying every man comprehends this. But in telling the truth, and not handling the word of God deceitfully, and not walking in craftiness, when we preach the truth, it is a testimony to every person that hears it.
Yes, sir.
And the fact is, they will respond one way or another.
Yes, sir.
You don't have to get people to respond. They will respond. Everyone here this morning, that included me, when Joe preached or when I preached, everyone here made choices this morning about what we heard.
Yes, sir.
Every one of us did. Exactly. We either believed it or we rejected it. Or maybe we tried to play the safe road and said, I just don't know about that.
Exactly.
But when you say you don't know about it, you know what you're proving, don't you? You're proving your ignorance. You know, that's just what we are on many things, ignorant.
Oh, yeah.
But look, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to the reprobate.
Exactly.
Is that what it says? That's true.
Yeah,
but that's not all it says. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now, where was I before I was found?
Yeah.
I was lost. So evidently, the gospel was just as hid to me as it was to everybody else when I was lost.
Yes, sir.
So if it was hid to me when I was lost, election didn't make the difference, did it?
No.
Because I was elect when I first heard it.
Exactly.
Why did I reject it? Why was it hidden from me? Because I was lost.
Amen.
Because I was dead.
Yeah.
Because I had no life.
Yeah.
The gospel is an excellent meal. The most excellent meal there is.
Yes, sir.
It is the feast of fat things. It is to be able to delight yourself in fatness. That was just down below what you read.
Yep.
To delight oneself in fatness. But if you're dead, I don't care what the meal is, it doesn't do you any good.
Exactly.
But if you're alive, and God feeds you that word, it'll benefit you.
Yes, sir.
But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. I was there one time too. Wasn't you? Somebody says, well, that doesn't really mean the elect. Yeah. The elect were both lost, and they didn't believe.
That's right.
To begin with.
Exactly.
Our Lord said, I come to seek and to save that which was lost. I was just as lost as the next man coming.
Sir.
No less so, no more so. Just as lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Man is totally depraved, and men ought to start preaching that.
Yes, sir.
We are so depraved that even the light of the gospel don't reach us. The fault's not in the gospel.
No.
The fault's in us.
Exactly.
See, there are those who say, boy, you discredit the gospel. You're speaking ill of the gospel. No, we just don't want to lie about the truth of God.
Amen.
God Almighty gets the credit for light. Because look, for we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. Now, what shined in our hearts?
Yeah.
The gospel? Is that the first thing that shined in our hearts? No. God did.
Yeah.
It's the very God who created, who said, who commanded light to shine out of darkness. That God, that's the way you could put it. It doesn't do any harm to the text or the meaning. That God has shined in your hearts.
Amen.
For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. An excellent passage to explain, and goes right, correlates right along with verse 6 and 7. But it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What's all that really mean? It means this. Jesus Christ came and hath brought life and immortality. He brought it.
Yes, sir.
And then he brings life and immortality how? To light. Through the gospel. Through the gospel. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see, God's got to shine in our heart. And men want to sit around and argue about how long there can be of a difference between the time a person is given this light of God himself and the time they hear the preaching. Just let God alone. Quit irritating God with our stupidity. It will accomplish, his word will accomplish that whereunto he sent it. And I don't care if it's 5 seconds or it's 5 years. It's God's business.
Yes, sir.
Well, that brings up this question. No, that brings up your question.
Yeah.
You're questioning God.
Exactly.
You're not questioning me. What's what you believe? Well, let me tell you. Who told Rahab the harlot the gospel of Jesus Christ?
Exactly.
So that it says she received the spies in peace by faith.
Amen.
Isn't that what it says? Let's read it. So you see, this ain't Walter Pendleton's opinion.
Exactly.
It's in Hebrews 11, right? We got just a few minutes left here. Hebrews 11, verse 31. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. She received them with peace. Right?
Yes.
By faith. Now, did these guys come into Jericho? We stand for the living Most High God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Believe ye him and repent. No, they were spies, David.
Exactly.
They came in secretly and silently.
Yeah.
But this woman had something when they arrived.
Yeah.
She had faith. Now you tell me where that came from. I'll tell you where it came from. It came from where the source of faith always comes from. It comes from God.
Amen. That's it.
And the only thing I know that Rahab could have known about God was the news that she heard round about town about what people had heard hearsay about these people coming this way. That's all she had was hearsay.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. If it was true hearsay, God Almighty can use that too.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
So what am I saying? Let me tell you something. God's going to bring you the truth whenever he pleases, however he pleases, in whatever way he pleases.
Yes, sir.
I don't care whether you're a Rahab the harlot in Jericho where there is no gospel being preached or whether you're Lydia sitting on the creek bank.
That's right.
Where prayer was wont to be made. Where religious people were. Where God was talked about, David. And God was prayed to. And yet even of Lydia, it says she was already, before Paul even preached to her, a woman that worshiped God.
Amen.
It didn't say she said she worshiped God. It says she worshiped God.
Yes,
and I've heard men say, well, it just means she thought she worshiped God. No, it says she worshiped God. And then it says, whose heart the gospel opened. Is that what it says? No, because the truth, the scripture is always true. Whose heart the Lord opened, so that she attended unto the things which were spoken by Paul.
Amen.
That's what we believe.
Yes, sir.
And it can happen before, during, that is this giving of life, and this initial giving of light. It can happen before, during, or after the gospel is preached.
Yes, sir.
That's God's business.
Amen.
And people can argue about all these so-called ramifications of that all they will. I don't care. Explain to me how I'm supposed to raise from the dead if I die before Jesus Christ returns. And my body's done went back to filth.
Yeah.
Slime and rot and at best dirt. Nowadays, we so embalm people that they don't just rot and go back to the dirt. They turn into ooze for a good while. You know that? It's kind of morbid when you sit and think about it.
Yep.
We don't preserve them. We just make them rot worse. You know? They might look good for 2 or 3 days, but let me tell you, after a while, it's going to change. And the point is, we were just as spiritually dead as we will be earthly wise, fleshly wise, when we die. We will be just as dead.
Yes, sir.
You see, God is light, and the natural man hates the light. Doesn't it? You look at John 3, 19, 20, 21. This is the condemnation. The light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. That was me by nature.
Yes, sir.
And I'm persuaded I'm one of the elect of God. I'm just as elect as you are.
Yep. That's it.
I'm just as elect. I'm one of the elect of God, but that was me by nature. I hated the light.
Yeah.
I even hate the light. Not only did I hate the gospel, I hated who the gospel talks about.
Yes, sir.
You see, because the light that came into the world that is being spoken of there is not just the gospel, it's Christ Himself.
Yes, sir.
That light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil.
Amen.
God's people have Christ as their light. Even when they sit in darkness.
Yes, sir.
Right? Even, what does that say? If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. So I'm here to say, according to Psalms 18, verse 28, and as we've already read, 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 7, God Himself is our light.
Amen.
Until God is my own personal light, the gospel will be no light to me.
Exactly.
But it will be darkness to me.
Yeah.
As long as I'm dead, the gospel will be death to me.
Yes, sir.
But if I'm alive, the gospel will be life to me. You remember what our Lord said, John 6? We all love that, don't we?
Yes, sir.
All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. We love that. Yes, we preach about it, preach from it over and over, the same chapter, the same verse, David. You know? But there's some other verses in that chapter as well. You know? A lot of other verses in there. And let's listen to one of them. Verse 53. This is just as true and just as vital as the other parts. Verse 53 of John 6, then said Jesus unto them, truly, truly, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, ye have no life in you.
Amen.
Now, most people, when they read that, they automatically revert back to actually physically taking in some food to get life. But you can't take in food to get life. If you're dead, I don't care how much you force feed that body, it won't come alive. Only living people eat and drink.
Amen.
And that's what Christ is saying. The proof of life is what? You eat and you drink. That's the proof. You have no life in you. If you don't, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, I tell you, he says it now. And in the Greek, it's very clear, hath. That means the life was there before the eating and the drinking took place.
Yes,
the eating and the drinking proves the existence of life.
Exactly.
Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. And he ain't done with it yet.
That's right.
For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Notice the correlation. Did God have to give Jesus life?
No,
he is life.
Amen.
So how is it that he lived by the Father? Is he talking about initial giving of life? He is life. But he was saying, even as a man, with flesh and blood. That's what he mentions. God, I live by Him. And that's the same way it is for us. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. Now it doesn't say, you don't come alive by eating and drinking.
Nope.
It's a manifestation that you are alive when you eat and you drink.
Yes, sir.
If you don't partake of this gospel, it's because you're dead.
Exactly.
If you're alive, you'll start partaking of this gospel.
Amen.
You'll believe it, you'll follow it, you'll love it, you'll trust Christ.
That's it.
These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of the disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" And they still say that today.
Yes, sir.
Even some grace people, some of God's people, still say, "That's hard. I don't know if I can handle that." Don't they?
Oh, yeah.
They still do it today.
Yeah.
They'll point the finger at us.
Yeah.
You're down there denigrating the gospel. No, we're trying to put the gospel right where it belongs.
Yes, sir.
That it receives its proper honor and glory under God.
Exactly.
Because the gospel is a message.
Yeah.
The gospel is not God.
The
gospel is the gospel of God concerning his son. It's not the gospel of God which is his son.
That's right. That's it.
We don't worship the gospel. We worship God himself.
Amen.
I wonder sometimes if a lot of people ain't worshiping the gospel rather than God.
Exactly.
Think about that. Father, I pray that you make our hearts and minds knit together in the person and work the Lord Jesus Christ, that we do, Lord, praise you and give you honor and glory for your gospel. We would not down or denigrate your gospel. It is a glorious message of life and light. Of life and light. But Lord, we praise you for our life and light. And I thank you in Christ's name. Amen.